Baie dankie Rudy Miller, altyd lekker om sy stem te hoor, 'n man wat sing met krag. I'm not sure how Dion sings. Look, I know he plays the bass guitar, and the bass guitarist and the drummer are usually the guys that stick away in the back. Unless, of course, you're Phil Collins or Sting, and that's a conversation for another day. Good morning, Prof. Dion. How are you doing today?
Morning, Brad. So I ended up playing the bass guitar simply because we had a better lead guitar player.
Oh.
And look, the bass and the drum line are essential for a good song.
Totally.
It's not beat around the bush. I do also play a banjo and ukulele and guitar. So mainly all the stringed instruments.
Okay,
yeah.
So you could be a one-man band. You're like Prince. You could just play all the instruments and record them all on different tracks. And the next thing we know, we have a hit from Dion. What's the weather like out there? It's still chilly?
So, Brad, this week I'm in Cambridge,
in
the UK. I'm doing some teaching here and a public lecture today, and it was beautiful when I arrived on Saturday, but the weather has become progressively more and more English each day as fast. And today will be solid rain, and I think it goes up to about 5 or 6 degrees.
Oh, yikes. Well, wherever you are in Europe, I suppose there are worse places to be in the world than where you are right now. Now, I just want to say, Dion, you introduce us to the most interesting people. Some of them we've heard of, maybe. Others we have no idea about. You introduced me this week when we connected, you connected me to Lady Huntingdon. Now, I had no idea who that was, so I've been doing my research and enjoying reading all about Selina Hastings, the Countess of Huntingdon, and the amazing work that she did. So I can't wait to hear what you're going to share this morning. But we forget that even out in the 1700s, there were Christian women changing the world. Who would have thunk it?
Brad, you know, so this for me was such an amazing thing. So this week I'm staying in Westminster College, which is one of the colleges in Cambridge. It's a reformed college, which has been here, I think, since somewhere in the 1700s. And they have a beautiful, beautiful archive of ordinary Christian people. So very often, you know, professors and bishops and whatever end up having archives. But one of the archival sets that they have is this one of Selina Hastings, who was the Countess of Huntingdon, as you mentioned. And she probably is one of the women who had the most significant impact on Christianity in the 18th century, so from the late 1700s onwards. And many of us as Christians around the world owe the fact that we have our churches to her. So many Reformed churches, for example, the tradition that I belong to, Methodists, have their churches because she was the person who was willing to fund what bishops and other churches were not willing to do. Mm. Now, what struck me was, you know, when we visited her collection with some of my PhD students, you know, these beautiful handwritten letters, you know, so all these letters that were written by people to her. And amongst them, of course, were letters, you know, some of the famous people we hear about, Jonathan Edwards and John and Charles Wesley and all these famous people. But also just, you know, the ordinary itinerant preacher who was living off, you know, a small living from some lord somewhere and traveling around preaching the gospel and falls out with that person and suddenly finds himself destitute and so can't preach. So Lady Huntingdon was the kind of person who said, what do you do with the life that you have for the good of Christ? And her life really is a sort of testimony to someone who took very, very seriously that who I am and what I have should be given in service of Christ. And it struck me as I looked at the many, many things that she did, you know, churches she supported. She founded a college in Wales to train people who the Church of England, which was the established church at that stage, wouldn't train. So men and women who would be excluded. But all of this work that she did gave a testimony, a witness to the consistency of God. Mm-hmm. I think that was the thing that struck me most, that the change that happens that we see in the world, most often, most of the change, Brad, actually, that takes place doesn't happen in these really spectacular ways. It happens just through the consistent faithfulness of people who say, what is God doing? We might not even be able to see it, even in our generation, but let's get behind what God is doing and let's be obedient to that. The second thing that struck me about the Countess of Huntington, Lady Hastings, was that she was in some senses averse to spectacle. So she was the kind of person who said, I want to do good work. I want to do what Christ asks me to do, but I don't want to do it to be seen. I don't want to do it to be known. And I don't even need to know all of the results of what God asked me to do. Simply to say, Lord, you asked me to do something. I discerned your will and was obedient enough to do it. That is reward in itself.
Sure.
So, Brad, I was really thinking about this during the week, you know, the little things that we do, the way in which we treat our spouse, our children, our neighbors, our colleagues, how we live that little consistent witness, and came upon this text again in my devotional reading, which I'm sure is familiar to so many of us, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Listen to this. This was an encouragement to me. It said, let us never grow weary of doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not give up.
Mm.
So, Brad, that was just a little encouragement to me today to say, look, I may not be a Lady Huntington, but the Lord has given me people amongst whom I live, opportunities every day to discern what God is doing, and the freedom to decide to say, Lord, I want to get behind what you're doing, and would you work it out for your sake and for your kingdom?
I love that. Thanks, Dion. I'm fascinated by this. I know it seems a silly thing to say, but we become so caught up in our modern day of living, we forget that all the way back in the 1700s when Selina Hastings was alive, although she didn't have access to the Message translation or the ESV or even the NIV, the fact is the Word of God was still there inspiring people all those years back where they were in the life that they were leading. And I'm sure she was fairly well off and using that influence and money and reach and that all for good. And I love these stories in history of people who have done amazing things for God, and that they were inspired and they were able to make a difference, that we remember, goodness, all these 300 odd years later, where there was no internet and no telephones and no television, and yet still doing, where there was probably distractions of other kinds in those days, were prepared to do what it takes. No excuses. Makes me think, perhaps, how can I be using my influence even better than what I am using it right now?
You know, Brad, and what was interesting was the archivist was telling us of some of the sort of challenges and controversies, you know, bishops who opposed what she was doing, and other aristocrats who thought, this woman's absolutely batty. She's giving away her fortune, you know, to the poor. The poor should remain poor and the rich should just, you know, so she was so countercultural in a sense. But Brad, one other thing struck me, and this has got nothing to do with devotion, but what was really remarkable is the fact that we know all of this because she was willing to correspond. She was willing to use the medium of her day, which was letter writing, to speak to other people, to reach them. And that sort of left an impression upon me. I thought, you know, there must be people who are listening to us today who really can just put down either pen to paper or start writing a blog or, you know, publish a little family memoir or something, just to be able to tell the story of what God has done for them and in them or for their family.
Mm.
And I really want to encourage, I don't know who it is that needs to hear it today, but maybe you've been thinking about writing that book. You know, those little artifacts that get left behind speak even when our voice is silent.
There you hear it. From the voices of Professor Dion Foster. He's usually, well, he is still a theologian and university research chair at the Vrije Universiteit in Amsterdam. Now hop, skip, and a jump all the way on the other side of the channel and enjoying some time in the UK in Cambridge. Blessings for all the amazing work that you do, Dion. Enjoy the cold weather. We've got a fairly mild day today. We'll soak up whatever we can because we get to live in Cape Town. Until we chat again.
Thanks, my friend. Bless you. Bye then.